Hello, everyone. My name is Ray Dumare. Welcome to the Backstage Show, your all-access pass to what goes on behind the scenes of successful music, brand, movies, and everything you like to get entertained with. I would like you to grab a chair and enjoy the ride.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Hello. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining me on the Backstage Show, and I'm so glad to have you here.
That's my pleasure.
Okay, I think I met you through Poza. That was the way I got to connect with you. Mm-hmm. Poza is my plug to you because I saw you guys work together. You work on you work as a partner in Technological Partners.
Yeah. We started out. I mean, one of the first. I mean, we're not one of the first because most people. We are the first entertainment-focused law firm.
Right. Wow.
Before then, people used to do intellectual property, trademarks.
Yeah.
For us, that was secondary.
Okay.
Our primary was entertainment, and I tell people, somebody say, "What makes you first?" I said, "Not just starting the law firm, but it's been about 6 years we started the law firm now, and a lot of lawyers still use our draft agreement."
Oh, wow.
Most of them don't know how to remove the watermark that we put into the agreement. So most times people step in the agreement.
When you try and copy and paste the,
we still see there's a, we have a particular watermark, a particular clause in the agreement that even lawyers that copy don't know what it means.
Oh wow. That's
so when they come
and that's
amazing. We started 2014, officially 2015, and this is 2021.
2015. How old were you guys back then? Seriously,
I think I was 2015. I was 25. Poza was 22.
Wow.
Poza was fresh out of law school. I was fresh out of service.
Wow. that's some big dream and all to want to go into entertainment right from the start. You guys knew you were going to go for that from the beginning, or it was just...
Yeah. And we started with 25,000 naira. We didn't have our first meeting point for clients was at the club. You know, clubs during the daytime are always very empty and scanty.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're usually always very clean.
Yeah.
And artists know how to find their way around to any club as opposed to offices.
Oh, true, true.
And artists feel comfortable in that kind of setting. You know, in those days where we started at 2015, majority of many of these artists didn't even know they were entertainment lawyers. Most of them didn't even have lawyers.
True, true, true.
So we realized that telling artists to come to our office and everything will probably put them at a much more greater reluctance. So we usually had nightclubs that we had agreements with or they were representing. And during the day, we would use the office as more like a remote office space, and artists would meet us there. So we started our law firm from a briefcase, just like that. And we started with very big clients, you know. One of our very first clients then was SARS.
Wow. Yeah. So you guys have been working with SARS for over 6 years now.
Oh, SARS is the law firm's baby. That's what that's how I like to say it. Because the law firm is very well invested in him. Not just because, you know, it's a paying client or as a producer, but, you know, he gets what the law firm is trying to achieve through creative. So we formed the SARS Academy for him. I'm sure you know the SARS Academy.
Yeah, yeah, I know about that.
And,
yes.
You know, and that was formed 2015 also. And between 2015 and now, we have stars from the Academy. I'm sure you know a lot of them.
Yeah, I do. I know Duni was part of the training one time.
Yeah.
That's actually great. And I know you were into music. You talk a lot about gaming and all. So I wanted to ask, are you really into games? What kind of games do you play at all?
Well, I have a Nintendo Switch.
Ooh.
I have a PS4 downstairs.
Wow.
And I have, a folder of game on my phone.
I don't know how to play any of those games I would challenge you to a game.
In my Nintendo Switch, I have about 8 cartridges.
Interesting.
And unlimited number of games on the app on the memory card stick. So I'm a big gamer, I love games. Yeah, I'm a big gamer, but my workaholic side is superior. So I never really get over immersive in things that I love.
Okay.
I mean, I sometimes that can be a flaw. It can be a bad side. I'm never super. I'm not totally massive in anything. You know, it's a weakness and it's also a strength.
Yes, so at least you'll be able to work in different areas.
Exactly. So I love games, but you know, I'm not head over heels in games. I love the music industry, but I'm not entirely loyal.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like I'm in agriculture.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the interesting things about you, because I look at you and I'm like, okay, you talk about music, you talk about games, you talk about agriculture. And for me, when I was looking at, okay, some of the things that I do a lot of things too. I'm into music, I create, but I'm like, okay, a lot of people will feel like, why don't you just stick to one thing? But it's just amazing to see that, okay, you as a person, you're doing so well in all of these things and you are actually killing it in all of these areas. And that's really amazing to see. And it's very inspiring for me as a person.
Most people say that to you because that's all they know. You know, like, the person I call my father was responsible for my schooling. My brain would be best being used in the courtroom, you know, being a son, arguing over stuff and everything. And, you know, at the very beginning of my career as a lawyer, you know, it chased me out of the house because I choose to follow a path. And then it felt I wasn't serious. But you don't blame parents, because our parents were trained to be administrators.
Yeah,
they were
true.
Not trained to be creative. They were not trained to be, you know, our parents were the generation of fixed deposits. They don't, most of them don't buy stuff.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
It was fixed deposit generation, you know. There are just many things. And it's okay. It's not okay if they don't try to understand us. But I always look at it like, you know, it's less for our generation to prove that what we chose was worth it and we could stick by it. Not necessarily mean that, not necessarily mean that you make so much money, but you love what you choose and you're okay with the outcome, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like people have chosen static careers, like careers that seem certain. It didn't end up bad too, you know. So I'm not really surprised when people tell you, oh, why are you trying to do so much?
So
you're
much.
Doing too much of everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like people most times tell you those things from their own perspective. They can't do it. You wouldn't expect someone like me to meet someone like me. I'd be telling someone like me that what I do is too much, because we all do something. We all do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get into agriculture because I felt like agriculture was the next thing. Everybody was doing it. I got into agriculture because of two things. I was raised by farmers, you know, workaholic women, female entrepreneurs who were farmers and traders.
Okay.
And having moved into music and see the amount of money people spend on music, and also see the amount of money people make, but they can't seem to reinvest and stable. You know, most people just make money and then invest in real estate. Real estate is good. Real estate is not bad.
Yeah.
But in Nigeria, we are used to investing. We don't have a social part of investment. You know, for many factors, I can't begin to double down on now. Right. To just put things into perspective, you know, it's not something I chose because I want to make money. I've never chosen anything in life because I want to make money. You know, money has never. I mean, obviously, I like money. I have bills to pay.
Yeah,
but
true.
I've never chosen something because of money. I always chose two things. And would I be able to, you know, would I be able to use it to change lives? Would I be able to use it to affect lives one way or the other?
Empower other people.
And would I advance? Yeah, and would I advance what people already do? Like, if I go into the system, would I be able to bring something new? I see a lot of people wanting to become entertainment lawyers now. And a lot of young people follow me on LinkedIn. So, but, you know, my passion drives me and the desire to just make a difference, to do things differently.
Sure.
Most importantly, the desire to crack. I like cracking problems, you know. I think it's an impulse that I'm trying to break away from now. As I'm gradually sunsetting on my youthful age, to realize that there's always going to be problems. While I know they finish.
Yeah, and true.
You have to choose your wisely.
True.
Yeah, choose your wala wisely, and you know, but you can't solve all the wala in the world, you know.
Yeah.
You can't even solve all your own wala, you know. So you have to live with some of your own wala, and then you have to solve the one you can solve, you know.
Wow.
So that's my perspective in a nutshell. Wow.
What's the TV show you are currently watching right now?
Okay.
Are you a boring show lover like me? I love boring shows.
I'm not. I don't even think I'm not a TV show lover. I mean, most.
Let's say Netflix now on Netflix. Maybe series that you're watching.
I don't like what I do musically on Netflix is go and watch. I watch animes.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of animes, of horror movies. I love horror movies.
What?
I'm a big fan. Of action movies. Like I love action movies. Okay. I love comedy. I love stupid comedy. I'm Nigerian, so I love stupid comedy. Obviously, I love musicals.
Okay.
But most importantly, everything, if you find me, I like watching I like going through the cast of movies. I know it sounds very, very geeky-like.
Okay.
But even movies, you know, sometimes I don't see some movies. Maybe I don't find movies interesting, but everyone is talking about it. I just go to the cast.
Look at the
music they use, where the licensors, who are the, like, because I mean, it's related to my job.
Yeah, to your job, music licensing.
Yeah, so I just look at the music sometimes, you know. So sometimes I know about popular movies, I know about the back scene of popular movies, but I don't actually know the plot of the movie, you know. I just know this person acted in the movie, this person played this role, was directed by this, the sound was created by this. The mood board for the movie was created by that, you know. But TV shows are not really my thing. I'm not a TV person, you know. If you find me in front of TV, I'm either watching Chinese movies, Curiosity Channel, or 50% I'm watching CNN. I mean, you know.
Oh wow, I don't keep tabs with TV shows too. But when it comes to Netflix, sometimes just to like you know get my mind off work, I just do some boring shows too. So that's actually good because I know because it's related to music licensing and maybe it's just me because I feel like there are a lot of artists and music creators who are still finding it difficult to maximize the power of their content and for games and for films. So I wanted you to like just share some of the things that you think that independent artists and music creators out there can actually do to be able to like diversify into this particular area. And
I think for me, what I can say, well, I mean, the knowledge I can share with when it comes to music generally and my experience through my career is that, you know, artists really, I sometimes question if majority of a lot of artists know why they're doing music, you know. Because, and I'll tell you why. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast wherever you are, I just want you to pay attention and listen to what I'm about to say. The why of why you're doing music is very important.
True.
And you might want to say, oh, but I have the talent, so why can't I do it? Because talent is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you really want to see people that sing, you need to go to churches.
True.
You need to go to. You can go to very ugly places and find a lot of people that sing in very ugly places. And when I mean ugly,
places,
I mean
amazing really, really talent.
Ugly, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, like people are bathroom singers. People are, you know, people sing anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but talent is not enough. And since talent is not enough, you must know why and what you're using your talent for. You know, are you trying to use your talent? I mean, if you want to be famous, that's cool. I mean, fame. Fame is a product. People sell fame. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to berate anyone for wanting to be famous. But if you want to use your talent to be famous, then you have to know what it takes to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use your music to become an artist and to heal soul, you have to know what it means to heal souls.
Sure.
If you want to make music for movies, you have to know what it means. What kind of movies can you make songs
music for?
If you just want to make movies for people, you know, whatever you want to make music for, you have a task to first understand what you're making music for.
Sure.
Because understanding that is what will make you perfect your product, which is your music.
Sure.
Now, why I'm saying that is because it doesn't matter how much you have, who you know, your strategist, your manager. If your music is not good, forget it. And when I mean your music is good, I'm not talking about creativity because creativity is very, very relative, you know.
Yeah, true.
I can like a song and somebody don't like it. But what I mean is, whoever you're trying to sing for, when you're singing in your mind and you're imagining someone listening to it, are you communicating to them? Do you right?
Okay.
If I want to be making Akpala music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, majority of people in my generation don't listen to Akpala music.
Serious, yeah,
so
sure.
If I'm trying to sing Akpala music for people in my generation, you know, I better be trying to use sound, this new generation sound.
Yeah.
You get? Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to make, if my voice is my talent, right? And my vocal rendition is what people like to listen to, I shouldn't, or as an artist, you shouldn't be working with a producer who uses heavy drums.
True.
Your talent is going to be lost. Now, this nitty-gritty detail is what A&R people do.
Yeah.
In the new world, people say, oh, TikTok is the new A&R. You know, you don't need mm-hmm. to, you have to go to a studio with an artist. This song is already popping on TikTok, so sign the artist.
Oh, wow.
But you see, there's something we call creative moments, where somebody who knows nothing about creativity can just have a spark.
Yeah.
And who can't even keep up with it. So you have a big song, and that's all you have, and that's what explains usually what we call one-time hit wonders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But for artists who know why they're doing and what they're doing, and they create good product, what is really clear is that they'll never be broke.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always have a market.
Sure.
And they will always have something to sell. You know, a mentor of mine that I follow his articles and I read it always says, if you have 10,000 good fans that your music really speaks to, you already have a source of livelihood.
Because that's 10,000 customers.
Exactly. That's 10,000 customers. Majority of business that you call SMEs don't even have 10,000 customers.
That. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Sure. But what do you need to do? You need to know who they are, what they do,
mm-hmm.
what they like the most, and what they like doing. Because if I'm singing, so I'll give you for example, if you're an artist and you're singing, your demograph is from the age of, let me be more, you know, matured here. You're singing for a demograph of like 20 to like 34, right?
Okay, yeah.
And the demograph you're singing for are boys.
Mm,
There's an higher percentage that these boys love mm-hmm. sports.
Yeah, true.
There's a percentage that these boys love action movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even talking about using Facebook data or YouTube data right now. I'm just... On an average, layman speculation.
Yeah.
Now, as a music person, as an artist, you already know who these people are and they have similar interests. Like, I'll give you an example, and I always make example to you because it's genius.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Reminis was signed by Samsung. And Samsung started using Reminis to advertise a 150,000 naira phone.
Wow.
You know, Reminis walked into it. After Reminis just told them that you guys are just going to devalue me because nobody's going to buy this phone. My fan base don't buy 150,000 naira. So Samsung went back to the drawing board and did a lesser Android phone that was about 40,000, 30,000, one G series. I'm not actually 100% sure then.
Okay.
And they had a good uptake sales. The number was massive. Obviously, Samsung is an high-end phone, so they probably didn't keep up with that brand. But it opened them to a new world of market possibilities
mm-hmm.
that they were probably previously ignoring.
Yeah, true.
That there is a simple example of the power of you understanding your product, the kind of audience your product commands.
Mm-hmm.
And those audience, what are their purchasing power? What are their preferences in life?
What can they
afford? And mm-hmm. what kind of things? You know, Reminis is always going to be a good case study for me, you know, because Reminis has what we call a progressive progression. No highs, no lows, just a standard balanced growth.
Steady.
Reminis is now on Brilla FM becoming an OAP.
Wow.
He has a betting, he's licensed to a betting company. He has his own sports management company. He knows what his audience likes mm-hmm. and he's tapping to that vertical. And then obviously also moving, you know, it's like you're moving vertical, you're moving horizontally again. It's moving mm-hmm. in both directions. But in one thing, within the space of his fan base.
Okay. Yeah, true.
So as an artist, you know, I see a lot of artists recording EPs all over and over, hoping that when they throw many darts at the bull, at the board, eventually it's the bullseye. It might never hit the bullseye. What you're doing is that you're just throwing a lot of things at your fans, and you're not even understanding them, where they are from, what they want, what they need.
Wow.
Many artists are so good at writing,
yeah,
but they're not good at performing. Mm-hmm. That type, their audience shy. They are not good with body movements. Their performance is poor.
Yeah.
I can, that kind of artist trying to become
a performing artist,
popular artist, is just. I'm not saying things can't change, but on a scale of 1 to 100, it's about 30% will ever get successful to that stage, because the art of performing is entirely different.
It's totally different. Yeah, true.
From making music, you know, yes, both can meet. You can perform and you can sing. I usually tell people, like, Fela is a good composer and a great performer.
Performer, yeah.
You might not find a singer in Fela.
Sure.
I mean, you know, but a composer, 100%, 1,000, mm-hmm. and the list goes on. A performer, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
And his performance goes beyond stage. His performance is genius. You know, even in his personality, there's performance in his personality.
Yeah.
When Fela is performing a composition, if you look at his face, his aura and everything.
It
speaks, you know, his body language speaks the communication. If you're someone who doesn't have that in you or who can achieve that, there's an high probability that you will not survive on stage. If you're in any show and you don't know Bengali, the moment Bengali comes on stage, you will know who Bengali is. So for an artist, you know, it's a question of knowing why you are doing music.
Mm-hmm.
Using that why to perfect your product, using your product to bait your own user base, and then constantly growing that user base and constantly offering those user base something. You know, you can't just be on Instagram trying to grow your followers from 5,000 to 10,000 to 100,000 and just posting music every day. You're not talking about sports. You're not talking about anything your fan base can relate with. Your Instagram page is just a digital album, just find pictures. Like, I go to your page, I don't even know if you're an artist.
True.
You know, you're just posting fine pictures. You know, I mean, I've seen 20 pictures and only one video of you singing.
But I mean, there's some people who want to combine, you know, fashion and their music.
Yeah, you know the beauty of music?
Yeah.
Music can combine with anything.
Anything, true.
Name it.
True, just definitely, it. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, there's no, but the questions still go back to me. How do you combine it?
Yeah.
Why are you combining? Are you combining because you just think that is where you can make money, or you mm-hmm. literally have passion for it, or you have a specific set of skills in what you're combining?
That can work for. Mm-hmm.
I love music. I know how to write. I've written a lot of music. I have a lot of royalties in music, but I'm a poor performer. I can't perform on stage. I'm stage shy, mm-hmm. you know? I don't have singing talent, but mm-hmm. I also have a skill. I have an analytical mind. I know how to read and research. Mm-hmm. I can research someone to the end of the world. You know, I have investigative skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I pay attention to details when I really want to. I can go the length of pushing a passion. So I brought that skills into music and realized that singing is not my thing. Writing is not also my thing. Even mm-hmm. being an artist is not my thing. But if the opportunity mm-hmm. comes, I'll do it. But what my thing is monetizing that music.
Yeah.
Giving that music a chance to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So I told myself, okay, so why am I doing this? Is I have passion and I want to solve a problem. So I started creating a product out of myself. Became a lawyer, became a business administrator. From business mm-hmm. administrator, became a catalog or music valuer. Intellectual property valuer, mm-hmm. and I'm moving across that chain. And I have my own base too. My base are people in the corporate world, they're people who are trying to really make money, not people trying to be famous. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to be famous and you come to me, you come to the wrong person. Is it that you are famous and you come to me and say, oh, I want to monetize my fame,
mm-hmm.
off my fame or off this thing? Or, you know, I'm not famous, but I have this particular community that I can communicate with and I want to make money. But if you want mm-hmm. to be famous and you want to promote yourself and be bigger, you come to me. I'm the wrong person. There are other people out there that has their skills. And until artists begin to learn that, you know, why, how, and where, you know, asking those pertinent questions. Artists are just to keep burning money, making money for platform, making money for middlemen.
Yeah, true.
the cost of creativity starts setting in, depression.
Yeah, that's one angle that I'm actually like wanted to talk more on, because a lot of creators don't even know how to diversify and ensure that they are a part of the process, a part of the business, part of how this old content that they are creating, how they can actually, maximize the potential of that content. What would attract MTN to work with a particular creator? What are the things that you're looking out for that creators can begin to work towards in order to be able to maximize these partnerships?
Okay, so first of all, usually big companies don't work directly with artists.
Yeah.
And artists need to know that. You have to be big companies, major companies don't work directly with artists. Mm-hmm. Because, how many direct artists are big companies going to work with?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And most times, big companies like to stay away from excess liabilities that are avoidable. So why do you want to, when you can always get somebody to do that, and get results?
Okay.
So I just need to put that out there.
Okay.
But to your question, I'm saying it again that, artists need to always ask why.
Yeah.
If this conversation is, let's assume this conversation, for the sake of this conversation, that this conversation is not about passion.
Okay.
It's about making money.
Yeah.
Right? If it's about passion, I'll talk about another thing. But this conversation is about making money.
Monetization,
Yeah. So as an artist is an SME. Until an artist understands that he or she is an SME, then you can begin to think well. Obviously, I'm not telling you to go on the song and start shouting, start trying to sing MTN ad and say, I've done an MTN ad, but by being busy there.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work like that. Usually, these companies don't do solicitation. When they have an offer, they give it out there to an agent and the agents go out there to source it.
Okay.
So they don't allow solicitation, right?
Yeah.
But putting that out there, what I mean when I say an artist being an SME is that you, as an artist, you need to understand the basic rules of business.
Okay.
Good products, followed by dedicated marketing, yield sales. I repeat myself. Good product, followed by dedicated. Great product,
good
best
talent,
product, perfect
product.
I said good product,
uh-huh,
followed by dedicated marketing.
Marketing. Mm-hmm.
Those qualifiers are very important. Good, dedicated equals sales.
Yeah.
When I mean sales, so when I mean good products, it can be as busy as, I'm going to talk about entertainment here. It can be your skin. It doesn't have to be your voice. Entertainment is a show business. So let's just get it straight there.
Yeah.
It's the business of getting the attention of the public.
Yeah,
either with your voice, your body, your performing skills,
mm-hmm,
your literary expression. Why I said your body is because it could be dance.
Yeah.
It could be modeling.
Yeah.
It could be your pretty face on the billboard.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be honest with yourself. Is what makes you a good product? Is it your skin? Is it your performance? Is it your face? Kim Kardashian's body, it's a good product.
Yeah.
That's what majority of people go on screen to watch. Most cannot even tell you the script line of what they watch. So, as an artist, you need to first accept to yourself, what are you trying to bring? What's your product? If your creativity is your product, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But is it a good product?
Mm-hmm.
So it's when you say you have good product, but then you now go to dedicated marketing. I always laugh at artists when you have 500,000, 1 million to pay a producer. But you don't have 200K to promote your
song.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking? So you're just going to produce a song for half a million and keep it on your phone and share it among your friends and just post a line on Twitter and Instagram stories and start cussing everybody out for not supporting you. Are you a joke? You're a joke. You must be a joker. If that's how the world makes money, and everybody mm-hmm. will be rich.
Yeah, true.
I always tell artists, find the best possible, I'm not saying best, I'm not going to use the word cheap, but find the best possible cost-effective means to create.
You could learn to do your money. It by yourself,
Or you could just start by going online.
And working.
There's so much free bridge sites online, and there's so much emerging producers you can work with.
Sure.
You have Amplify
very good
where you can go there and get free. Yeah. You know, why are you chasing a big producer when you can't afford the marketing?
Yeah.
When you've crossed the hurdle of creating a good product with a less cost effective, but not obviously not, I mean, I always tell people, I'd rather spend about 300,000 on recording a song and producing it and spend 500,000 on mixing and arranging it.
Yeah.
Because a good song with a bad engineer and an arranger is a bad song.
Yeah.
Very, very good song can be a bad song when a bad engineer. So I tell people, you can produce with as low as 50,000, like record yourself and everything. But when you want to send it to engineer, get the right engineer.
Yeah.
Just make sure your product comes out good.
Good. Mm-hmm. True.
I mean, I've seen bad products with dedicated marketing become good products.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
You know,
true.
And dedicated marketing costs money. So that's where, you know, this my conversation really is getting off from. Is that if you want whatever you want to achieve as an SME, because I said SME as an artist.
Artist, yeah.
Is that you need to understand that whatever you want to achieve has a cost price. You stop deceiving yourself that somebody is going to meet you on the road or hear you at a club and automatically come and sign you.
Mm-hmm.
The world doesn't work that way. So whatever you want to achieve has a cost price. You know, and that's what you need. That's why, you know, as an artist, there has to be that constant question. If you want to be famous, it has a cost price. Being famous costs so much. That's one of the most cost. I mean, people talk about how Michael Jackson is a superstar in the world. But, you know, I've never seen anyone come and say, do you know what it costs to make Michael Jackson a superstar? Just do the research and find out. You would realize that, there's no way this person is going. Sony spent so much money on Michael Jackson. You would think they were, you would probably, I mean, obviously he's talented, he's good.
Yeah.
But Sony was financially invested. And, you know, I mean, let's come back to the 21st century. You can see Kanye. You see how much Kanye invested in his music, traveling over the world. I mean, all those being in the news is not cheap. That's PR working.
Yeah.
So most of the time, independent or young, upcoming, emerging artist thinks, it just happened by a stroke of fate. It's because it's popular. That's some bills. That's bills I get it. When you see all those things in the news, those are bills working, doing their job.
Yeah.
And so when you now ask yourself that question of what it costs to be what you want to be, and that's when you can begin to talk about making money. But if you've not asked yourself that and you just want to be an artist, then keep recording, keep distributing
your music.
Keep pushing your music, and one day maybe the angel, the heaven will open lock. I mean, I would not try to downplay luck. There's luck. I would not say that luck comes on, you know, heaven shine on those who they want to shine on.
Yeah.
But I know very well that, you know, what some people call luck, it's just you being prepared.
Yeah, true.
Prepared, an opportunity comes your way. You know, I've seen a lot of people with luck step on their door, come directly to their doorstep, and they sent the luck packing.
Mm.
So for you to be able to know luck, you must be ready.
Yeah,
and that's just it. So the conclusion, you have good product, dedicated marketing.
And then you know, sales.
I'm not telling you to because this guy said marketing. So you know, marketing, you pay OAP. No. I mean, anything you do in life, you have to be prudent and you have to ask yourself why. If anybody's asking you for any amount of money and you're not asking why am I paying this money and what is the result of this money, the loss of that money is on you. You were negligent in that spending. You owe a duty to yourself to know why you're spending that money, what that money is bringing back to you, how would that money be offset, and to what account that money is going into. You know, is it going to expense? Is it going to investment? You know, basic things. You can't just be an artist who goes to the studio every day to record and pop some pill and smoke up and just say, you know, that's on you. I mean, well, good luck if that's all you do. I hope it works for you because I believe everybody knows what works themselves. It just doesn't work in the real world where, you know, where we operate.
That's true. That's why we have a lot of middlemen who take care of
I don't know any successful artist who is not involved in their business. Middlemen can make you successful. Let's just be very clear. I can say that. You see all these independent platforms telling you we distribute your music to the store. You can become independent. Yeah, they're in your independent distribution. None of them says independent management. Nobody says independent
marketing. Or something. Then you do that
exactly.
Yourself.
You still have to do the marketing yourself. You still do the promotion yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot, there's no way in the world you cannot be involved in your career and expect the middleman mm-hmm. The middleman is not you.
Yeah. Yeah. Middleman can, you understand middleman, what you want.
The middleman can tell you where your audience is, who your audience are, what their age are, what they listen to or what they consume. But the middleman can communicate with the audience for you because the audience is not listening to the middleman. No matter how much you try to speak for an artist, the artist doesn't speak themselves. It's not believable.
So weird, yeah.
So, yeah, true. You know, I say middlemen will always be middlemen and they will always exist. As far as I'm concerned, there are tools. Middlemen, whether in infrastructure, whether in human mm-hmm. resources, whether in platforms, whether even in software, they are tools. They are just part of the tools an artist need to become successful.
Yeah, true. You recently posted something that SAS did, Amplify Hub for music yeah. creators, for producers. And I think it's another platform for producers to be able to make money and connect with artists out there to be able to, like, you know, work and get more money for their creation. So I wanted to just touch on that and also touch on what Ayoba is all about.
Okay, so for Ayoba, Ayoba is a super app.
Okay.
It's first of an instant messaging app, like, you know, your right. WhatsApp,
like Facebook, regular WhatsApp. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But already it now has functionalities inside, so you can play game inside, you can listen to music, you can watch videos, you can do. So it's like bringing BB channels to WhatsApp.
Oh, okay.
And then we now have artist channels, so you can follow your dedicated artist. I mean, supposing you don't want to listen to secular music, you just want to listen to gospel music. Okay. You just need to follow gospel artists and that's all. So that's you only see music from them and that's all. So, you know, tailoring it down. And and even though we are yet to open the OU artist channels to all other artists, we are still in what we call the testing stage. Seeing how the channels work, what are the functionalities we can give to artists. So we hope that in the nearest future, we open it to a lot of artists. But the future we are looking at is a future where artists have their own platform. So the channels belong to you, moderated by us. So the channels belong to the artist, is moderated by Ayoba, and Ayoba releases tools for you in that channel. So imagine you can communicate directly with any fan you choose. You know your fans, you know their phone number, you know which one of them is listening to your music, and you can communicate with them.
So more like a much more niche fan engagement.
Exactly.
In a way.
You can pay them. You can actually transfer mobile money to them. Can transfer mobile money to you. They can buy tickets from your channel. They can buy merchandise
directly. So
exactly.
That's closing the gap between the artist and your audience.
Yeah. So are we removing the middleman? No. The middleman will still be supplying the music. The middleman can manage the channel. The middleman can manage the channels on behalf of the artist. There's a lot of things that can happen. But we know that when we put the artist and the fan in a close range, a lot of specular things can happen.
Yeah.
You know, we are not just bridging the gap. You can bridge the gap, but they are not connecting. You know, there are many times people say, oh, I'm bridging the gap. Okay, so when you bridge the gap, is there a connection? Or you just bridge a gap and there's no connection? So we are bridging the gap, but most importantly, we are creating a connection.
Wow, yeah. That's fantastic.
So, because we understand that, you know, it always has to be the artist first. When you solve the problem of the artist and then you bring the fans closer to the artist, artists can create spectacular things.
Yeah.
Speaking about Amplify Up.
Amplify
Up is another way of SAS solving problems. You know, SAS share a lot of things in common with me. It's a problem. It likes solving problems, and
that's great.
Every year when we're doing the non-profit NGO SAS Academy, we'd get about 5,000 applications. We wanted to choose just 10 producers, 2,000, 5,000, 5,000, and every, you know, and we're like, you know, like, so all these awesome producers, how can we get them out there? We can't train all of them. We don't have the capacity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what can we do to get them out there? And then someone walked up to SAS, his name was Louis, and he said, I'm building this. And SAS was like, okay, what do you think about this thing? Can you speak to him? Let's see what we can do. And SAS was like, let's support him. You know, it's never about money. We just want a situation where producers could put their song, their beats online, even if it's for free, and they can get someone to purchase. They could also buy samples for a lesser price. So, yeah, and right now, Amplify Hub has about 11,000 plus producers, creators generally, songwriters, sound engineers.
Because I wanted to ask. Yeah,
a lot of other people have joined. And we realized that a lot of people right now are still downloading free beats. I mean, usually that's really the first. That's usually the first, you know, people download free beats first and then, But the most interesting part for us is that producers are communicating there. Producers are meeting each other and buying beats from each other. Like, oh, guy, I like this, your beat. Can I buy it? I want to recreate on it. That's not something that's not something we foresaw. Producers themselves are hiring engineers to make their own beats. Like, oh, my beat is good, but I think it needs mixing. These are things that traditionally a lot of producers don't do. Like, you make your beat yourself and mix it yourself. Most producers don't know that your beat might be good, your composition might be good, but you need an engineer to help you mix your beat and arrange it out. So, you know, we are seeing, you know, new pocket innovations coming up. And, you know, that's Saz's dream and the team's dream is that we don't want to dictate what happens to that community. We want that community itself to metamorphosize into what it would become. You know, when you bring people together, they can achieve great things. You just need to be able to watch. So Amplify Up is not built solely to make money. In fact, making money once again is not the dream of Amplify Up. The dream of Amplify Up is to bring producers onto a platform where they can make sales of their beats, where they can collaborate,
communicate,
and where particularly when the opportunities in the producer community, they get to hear it first. So, for example, the next Saz Academy, Amplify Producers will know about it first. Airbeat is coming into Africa. They will know about it first. Splice is offering. So, you know, it's not just buying and selling. It's a community of sound creators plus more, even though we are focusing on them.
Yeah.
Sound creators, sound arrangers, sound mixers, having their own community and engineers, where opportunities are offered to them from time to time, you know, and that's
what amazing. That's really great. It's really amazing to see that most of the things. And one interesting thing I've heard you say that is very, very inspiring for me is that it's not about the money. It's about solving the problem that is out there. Because I think that's like one of the greatest model of business. It's if you're creating a product just because you want to make money, you won't be able to create a long-term process for your brand. But when you're solving a problem and working with your community, working with the target audience to build what they actually need, then they're set up for life for long-term. I think that's actually very beautiful and very amazing. I've learned something. So it's not about the money. It's about solving problems for people.
Yes, because people will pay you when you solve their problem.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer, you know. But people won't pay you because you're asking them for more money, to collect more money from them, you know. So, and that's it, you know. And most times, the real problem isn't that really big. You just need someone to pay attention to what the problem truly is and fixing it.
Great.
Hey there, thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to subscribe and follow or leave a review. I mean, if this episode has actually really helped you, I really want to hear from you. So connect with me on Instagram or leave us a comment and leave us a 5-star rating. And if you've enjoyed the show, spread the word, share with your friends. And also don't forget to join my crew by signing up to my mailing list so you can get access to all the amazing resources I have lined up for you. Until next time, keep winning.